All right, this morning we are so privileged to welcome our newest missionary and his family to our missionary support team and to be a part of that welcome. They came all the way from India. That's quite an honor. So let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Vijay. He will come up and share with us.
Use it, because it has to go to the live and I'll be using the mic. Good morning once again. I want to thank Pastor Jay and the missions committee, especially the church, for accepting us as a missionaries. And I want to thank the Lord for that. And thank you so much for that. As the pastor was mentioned about the persecution in India, we go through the terrible situations in India. I don't know how many of you are aware of the news, what is exactly going on in India. Previously, I mentioned about this. We all know the song called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I even mentioned the song was written by an Indian. Because of that man commitment, when he trusted Jesus Christ, the whole village people said, "We are going to kill you if you don't deny Jesus." This man said, "I have decided in my heart, I'm not going to turn back. I will follow my Jesus." Then they threatened him, "We are going to kill your family. If you don't deny Jesus, we are going to kill you and kill your family." He just stood silently. They killed his wife and two children there itself. And he wrote a second line by saying, "Though none go with me, still I follow. My faith cannot be moved." And they said, "We are going to kill you, and otherwise, you need to get out of the village." And he said the third line by saying, "The cross before me, the world behind me. I follow Jesus until I see him." So many times we sing a song. We don't know what pain, what intention the man of God wrote that song. Because of this one man faith, the whole state, the whole village came to know the Lord. Because of one man commitment. The later on what happened was, nowadays, since almost 8 months onwards, the issue is going on the place called Manipur in India. We have almost, that is only Christian state in India. All the churches from India, from the state, has been burned. Nearly 500 churches has been burned. All the Christians has been killed. More than technically, I went there, I saw the dead bodies are laying on the roadside. Nobody is there to bury them. And it was kind of very painful situation. Because of their faith, they were killed and their families left alone. And the only state in Christian state in India, there is no more Christians in the state now. Indian government is, they want to eradicate all the Christians from the country. They want to, kill everybody and make one nation as a Hindu God. So this time I came with my family and especially my wife Eunice. Before we see the video, I want to introduce my wife, Eunice. Please come, please. I have one wife and two children. My children are in the Sunday school and thank you all for your prayers. Thank you all for accepting us as your missionaries. I humbly request you to please do pray for my wife, Eunice. She has a little difficulty. When she was born, when she was 6 months old, she was affected with the polio. So her one leg is very short. It's twisted like that. Doctors did a couple surgeries and they turned this way. Still one foot is very small actually. Please do continue to pray for her. And there is a gap at the hip also. We all have a backbone, right? From the brain, it goes down to the hip. At the downside, there is a 2 inches of gap. And she tells, what doctor said, how, God is using her. 1 minute, please. Yeah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord to everyone. I'm really glad to be here. Lord, God's grace for making me stand among you all.
And as Pastor Vijay told you all, yes, I was born healthy, but because of the shot which I took when I was a 6 months baby, it just reacted in another way. Because of that, I was affected with polio. Generally, when we take shots for not getting many diseases, but I was affected. For many years, I felt like, why me? Why God has given me such pain to my life? But as I was knowing Him, God has filled His faith in my life, and He was my hope. And at a stage, God spoke with me. He told, everything is a blessing in disguise. Sometimes, our difficulties are also a blessing for us. So He always reminds me that I'm with you. I'll make you walk. Because when I had my last surgery for my leg, doctors said, this is all what we can do, because they did so many surgeries. Like at a time, it was a major surgery for me, 3 hour surgery. I had tendon transfers and bone transfers in my leg, but still I had problem with my leg. Then doctors, they again researched, and they diagnosed that I have hip, there is a problem in my hip, that I have the ball and socket joint. As we all know, there is a biggest gap. Actually, then doctor said, the person who is having so much of gap in her hip, she cannot walk. She has to lay down in her bed the rest of her life. But I am here. I'm walking. I'm testifying God. I'm serving Him in India. God has blessed me with beautiful kids. And my father is the one who has filled me all the encouragement and the hope in my life. He's the one who introduced Christ, and he's my physical and spiritual father. Later, I married Pastor Vijay. Together we are serving, and he's a great blessing to me. He's my biggest support and strength God has given me. And next, one more thing. I always felt, as I told you all, that I'm a weaker vessel. I cannot do anything. But God is making me to serve among the women. I take Bible classes. I take Sunday schools. And I never thought that I'm useful to him, but he made me a useful vessel for him. I praise God for the potter I have, and we all have. Let the Lord be praised, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Eunice. And she is really a great blessing to me, to be honest with you. She takes care of women's ministry and children ministry. Our Sunday school children is, we have 150. We have 150 to 170. That's our Sunday school strength. And it's a big, right? It's a big number. And God has given a wonderful ministry in spite of persecution, in spite of difficulty. We have a persecution. So many times, Americans, I see gas is gone up and this is gone up. You come to India, you will understand America is far better than many countries of the world. You know what I'm saying? What I mean? So sometimes we don't understand the privileges what God has given. In India, we go through the tough time. But let me tell you, before I show the video, the persecution and church, they are always grown together. Church is always grown in the persecution. In India, we have a persecution, much persecution. If I tell you everything, to be honest with you, you will not sleep. If I have to show the videos which I have in my phone, the persecution, how it goes on in India, if I show you that, you will not sleep only. But God has been so good to us, and He was gracious towards us. He's enabling us to serve the Lord in India. I have a small video clip. You will see the video, and we'll get into the Word of God, please.
Pastor K, Vijay, and Eunice are missionaries in India. India is big mission field. There is great need of gospel. In India there is lot of persecution. Many God's children were burnt alive and many missionaries were killed brutally. Pastors and their families were isolated from the town and villages. In some cases, people who trust Christ lost their identity. They lost their relatives and friends. They thank the Lord for, even though much oppositions, people are getting saved every day. All glory to God alone.
And it's not just in Manipur. The New Delhi-based United Christian Forum says there have been more than 400 incidents against Christians in 22 other Indian states in the first 6 months of this year. India, with 1.4 billion people, is the world's largest democracy. However, Modi's critics argue democracy has been in retreat since he took power in 2014. The State Department called out India in May for its deteriorating religious freedom and its treatment of Christians and Muslims in particular.
Government actions, including the passage and enforcement of discriminatory policies, such as hijab bans, anti-conversion laws, and anti-cow slaughter laws, have created a culture of impunity for threats and violence by vigilante groups, especially against Muslims and Christians.
Meanwhile, lawmakers on the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee urging the State Department to designate India, among others, as a country of particular concern, which would make New Delhi subject to U.S. sanctions for violating the International Religious Freedom Act.
No diplomacy ought to get in the way of calling it for what it is. If a country is engaging in serious religious persecution, they need to be designated CPC.
I have seen the great need of gospel and began to share God's word. People are getting saved every day. First thing, evangelism. Second, we are equipping through the right biblical teaching. Third, making disciples. And fourth, church planting. Preparing the next generation for Christ. And also, skill development programs for the women and youth in the community. Church planting. In the year 2013, on the 9th of January, God led them to start a Bible-believing local church called Grace and Truth Bible Church. It was born midst of persecution with four members in a small room. In a span of 11 years, God has blessed this ministry with the 400 believers. As church was growing there no permanent place for the worship after many years of prayers, God enabled them to build a prayer hall. All the glory to be God. From this local church has sent out 127 disciples for the full-time ministry and established more than 200 churches in different places of India. Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20. The obeying the Great Commission of Lord Jesus Christ, we have been continuing. We are reaching the unreached places of India with the gospel. Nearly 4,600 people are led to Christ, more than 2,720 people got baptized. Many disciples are sent out for full-time soul winning, planted 184 churches in different villages in seven states. Altogether, 17,200 believers are worshiping on every Sunday. The New Testament Bibles are given out, more than 300,000. God put burn to build small house churches in needy places. We have completed 17 and 7 churches are under construction. We don't want to be stagnated in one place, as we read in Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In India there are hundreds of villages which never heard the gospel, never knew about Jesus Christ. God has given the burden to send the 127 young men to these gospel unheard villages, and they are now serving the Lord in different parts of India. We have started 150 house churches. A few are serving in remote areas where there is no electricity, transportation, even struggling for food. But through village ministry, many people are knowing Christ, and every month nearly 500 above souls are added to the kingdom of God. To build a small house church for worship, it is costing $4,500. Relief work. I believe that by doing social work we can share the love of Christ to the people. God has given privilege for us to stand during natural calamities. We fed nearly 70,000 during the COVID lockdown, and nearly 27,000 people during the floods in India. During the persecution in Manipur, we helped 1,300 families and also 24 relief camps with food, medicine, and clothes. God has used us as a channel through IGM to comfort them and show brotherly love towards our fellow Christians. Pray for India. Pray for us.
Well, thank you for watching that. That is a couple of the clips which I shown to you and the video which is going on right now in India. There are so many issues which I cannot address you. And however, we humbly request you to please do pray for us. Especially we have we trained up 151 pastors, and they are serving the Lord in different villages. I have a slideshows already. These are all the things we have already seen. This is my first church where I pastored. This is my first church. You can see a small hut after coming from the Bible college. This is my first church where I pastored. And they used to pay me $2 per month. $2 per month. Right now also in India, for the daily wages, if they work for 10 hours, they get $2 or $3. Highest pay is per day is $10, right? So that is what it is we go through. Please do pray for that. When I was doing that, God, put me burden. I was an engineer, actually. I did my electronics and communication engineering, and God put me to work something. I have started a small company called Calvary Power Systems, which generates the power with the gas. And, I used to work with that, and I used to get the good money. And God spoke to me again, and he reminded his call, and I got back to the ministry, and I left everything and started to serve the Lord. So this is my family. This is, as I mentioned earlier, this is our ministry name, Grace and Truth Ministries, which we started in the year of 2013. God is really blessing our ministry through this local church. We are going through that. We thought actually, basically, in the beginning, we thought to reach our town. We thought to reach our state. But God has given a privilege to reach whole country. And the gospel is spreading very rapidly. God is doing wonderful things on that. This is our church where we gathered in the beginning. So this is how we do the soul winning. This is how we do the soul winning. In our church, basically, every believer in the church, they have to witness to at least to the 50 people in a year, which means technically every week at least they need to witness to the one man or one woman. That way we witness. See, we cannot save anybody. We cannot bring anybody into the salvation, but we can preach the gospel. We can share about love of Jesus Christ. It's our duty. When we do our part, God will take care of the rest of the things. So that's what we do on a daily basis. This is our church building right now where we are worshiping. It's illegal to build a church building in India. You cannot build a church, but you can build a house. Technically, it is my house. Seriously speaking, it's my house. The same building at the basement I live. The same building, the basement we live. The first floor is a Sunday school, and second floor where we gather for the worship. When we are building the church building, I put the cross in the first floor. Somebody came, as a group of people came together, and they said, you need to remove the cross. Well, I went to my room, prayer room. I prayed, God, what should I do? God said, remove it. Remove the cross from there. I removed it. Then a couple days later, I asked God, what should I do now? He said, put it to the fourth floor. Let the whole town see that. And we put another two floors, and thank the Lord for that. And this is where the cross is there, and whole people can see. Now, somebody come and ask me, is the church? Yes. Is it your house? I say, yes. Both are true. Both are true because it's my house. That's the reason I wrote in the top. It says, it's a house of God. It's a house of God. Technically, it's my house. It's also a house of God. So this is the inside of the church. I thank the Lord for the wonderful opportunity. This is how we do the discipleship, a training program. What we do is, we have four kinds of ministry, basically. We do the evangelism. We equip them in the right doctrine, and we disciple them. We go for the church planting. That's what we do. So far, 151 pastors are working with us. This is our ministry is what we do, basically. This is our man whom we trained up, and they are in the ministry. They are serving the Lord in the different villages of in India. So this is a persecution. One of our pastor, his name is Samuel. He is serving the Lord in Papanapet, which is almost maybe 250 miles away from us. During the Christmas season, when he was preaching gospel, when he was preaching God's word, actually, two radicals, maybe many radicals came together. They took the iron rod. When he was holding Bible like this and preaching the God's word, they thought to break his head. He pushed his head back. They broke his two wrists. And one of the wrists was broken very badly. And his wife has taken him to the hospital. And he is recovering. He is recovering. He has almost four children. He has four children. And pray for them. They don't have any support. The pastors who are working with me right now, they do not have any support from anywhere. In India, it's a strange thing to you to listen. In India, every state has their own language. Every state. For example, I'm not speaking slang. If you come to the New York, our English is different. If you go to the Michigan, it is different. If you go to the Atlanta, Georgia, it is different. All is English, right? All is English. India is not like that. If you go to the, if you travel 100 miles, you will get into the another language. You don't understand anything. I don't either understand anything. I can speak 4 to 5 languages. In India, we have more than 1,600 different languages. I don't know, in my lifetime, I can learn that all the languages of 1,600. I don't know. Thank the Lord, some people like you, when they come, they speak English. We, couple people speak English, they translate into their language. When we go to the outreach program, when we reach to the village, we try to find out who can speak their language and who can speak English. We will hire them and they will be translating to them and we will preach the gospel. That's what we do. And please do continue to pray for us. So this is one of the pastor. His name is Jairus. He was killed by radicals. Well, he was preaching God's word in his church. In his church. You know how churches, they have 20, 30 people in the church. So radicals attacked the church. They killed him brutally. They killed him very brutally. His wife and three children are there. They left as orphans. The woman cannot work. She doesn't know anything. She cannot go for the work at all. As a church, we are taking care of her. And the church is supporting a little bit to her. And thank the Lord for that. Pray for their family also. So this is a pastor. This is one of our pastors. His name is Elisha. He was beaten by the radicals a couple months ago. If I have to talk about it, I need to talk about the whole service. It continues for the next service also. So I humbly request you to please do pray for this, all the people. This is a pastor, Atsui. He is in Manipur. His father and mother, his siblings were burned alive while they were worshiping in the church. Did you ever hear the man called Graham Staines, who is a missionary to India from Australia? He came as a missionary to India. When he was preaching, it was very hard. When I say hard in India, we handle like 110 degree Fahrenheit it is. When he was preaching, after preaching, you know, he wanted to take a rest. He went aside, he switched on his car, he started his car. He was sitting in his car. And, in the AC, the radicals came, they put the gas on his vehicle, and they burned his car. You know, I still remember his wife mentioned in our testimony, he cried loud by saying, "Let the boys go out. If you people have a problem, you kill me." Boys did not do anything. "Let the boys go out." No, they did not allow. His son name is Philip, is a 9-year-old boy. And his another son named Mr. Timothy, they both were burned alive in the fire. His wife name is Gladys. She said, "I want to serve the Lord where my husband is killed." She is still in India. She is serving the Lord. She is serving the Lord. And please do pray for those other things. This Achi, this is his church where he was pastoring. They burned the church. Can you see the background? They put the fire, they burned the church. They burned the people alive. I could be able to go and comfort them. I could be able to pray for them and thank the Lord for that. So this, and even very sad thing to say, the children home was burned. These all the children are orphans actually. Atsui is taking care of in Manipur. They burned the orphanage also. One of the orphan boy was also killed there itself. And the rest of the orphans are there. And Atsui has to take care. What we are doing right now, we get a little support. It's not much. Whatever the support we get it, we share with the children. At the same time, we share with our pastors who are working with us. That's what we are doing. Please do pray for Pastor Atsui. He wants to build an orphanage in Manipur. We want to take care of those, all the things. We don't know how. God is going to take care of those. And please do pray for that. So this is a persecution, how the radicals, they come and they put the flags on the churches. You know, these radicals, you may ask me a question, where did these radicals come from? They are partially, indirectly supported by the government. Government is directly involved in those things. They put the money, they feed the radicals. Radicals go and burn the churches. Even if we go to the police station to make a complaint, they will ask a first question, are you a Christian? If you say yes, they don't take the case. In India, if you say you are a Christian, you are considered as the lowest caste of the society. You are considered as the lowest man. You know, they don't care about you at all. So that's this is what we have done so far. In the 14 years of ministry altogether, so which you have seen in the video, it speaks about only Aggression Truth Ministry. This is what we have done through all the churches which we established from our local church. From our local church till today, we are able to establish 200 plus churches. How churches? When I say churches, we go to the one village, we preach the gospel. When people get saved, we gather into the one place. We try to build a small church which is 10 and 20 feet. 10 feet is a width and 20 feet is a length. We try to build that. They will be gathering as a small groups. And in 14 years, we could be able to disciple 151 from the church. Not only that, we are able to lead 85,000 people to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And 7,500 people got baptized. These are all the churches. We could be able to, God is able to work through us to establish, even midst of the persecution, even midst of the opposition. These are all the things God is doing. Praise God for that. These all are our ministries. I'm getting delay. I just want to pass on. I want to mention about this woman. This woman has 4 boys, actually. Her husband was killed by the radicals. And she is, during that time, she became mad. She became mad and she doesn't know what to do. This is one of our pastors. He is taking care of their family. And please do pray for them. This is how we do. We go in the midnights and we help the people who are in the streets. We try to share the gospel. So when we show the love of Jesus Christ, that is the one way we approach them. We try to help them. We share the gospel to the people. So this is another program we have. It is a Shiving Mission program. There are so many widows in India because the population is too much. It's 1.42 billion people. You know how big is India? It's a little bigger than Texas. That's it. But we live. I mentioned in the last time when I came here, we live very close to our neighbor. You can ask me how much close. You can stand outside and you can shake hand of your neighbor. You know? You can reach 6 inches gap between the house to house. You understand? 6 inches gap to house to house. You can hear what is happening in the next house. So that's what it is. So this is our children ministry. This is what we are doing, conducting crusades. And I request you to please do pray for that. It's not going next, my brother. Can I hit the next, please? Oops, yeah. This is our vision. We want to establish 1,000 out churches. I was just, running a little fast because I need to bring the God's word. If I speak about myself, it's not going to benefit anything. I need to speak about my Savior who brought me here, who enabled me to do these all the things. So that's the reason I'm trying to wrap up the things. This is our vision. If you like to know more about our ministry, you can, you know, drop out of our table. We can speak about more things about the ministry. Next, please. This is a motorbikes we are looking for actually. Basically, our pastors, they go by walk and preach the gospel and come back basically. Some of the times it's very difficult to travel one place to another place. So they go by cycle, sometimes they go by motorbike. So gas is very expensive. How much is the gas here? It's a $3.18 something, right? In India, it's a $9 to $10. So if you put the gas into the car, it's a difficulty. I can put my whole family on motorbike. You know, we can go. The motorbike can go at least, you know, 30 miles or 40 miles to save the gas and everything. We go by motorbike. Sometimes we end up going into the field because two fellows are sitting in front side. You know, we cannot, but that was happened to me several times. So I try to go turn right side, it goes left side because my daughter is holding on the front side. She tried to turn on the left side. I tried to go right side. We ended up going straight, and you know, those are the things what happens. God has provided a car for us. And pray for this motorcycle. It is costing $1,800. Please do remember about that need. Next slide, please. So this is our needs. For the motorbike, it is costing $1,800. Please do pray about it. To build one house church, it is costing $5,000. To build one church. If you want to build a church in America, it is $1 million talk. It's a $1 million talk. If you want to build a church in India, we build a small, you know, it's not like a AC and big building. No, no, no. You know, ultimately, people have to gather. Because in India, if you say Christian, you will not get a place to stay also. You will not get a rented place to stay, even though if you pay the money. That is a kind of discrimination we have in India. So that's the reason we try to buy a piece of land. We try to build a church building. So I want to encourage you all. See, one thing is very true. One day we are going to get out of this world. One day we are going to get out of this world. But let me tell you one thing. If you do something for the Lord, it will be remembered in heaven. God will definitely reward you. See, whatever you invest here, it can be anywhere. The investment is going to be here. If you invest into the God's kingdom, it's going to be forever. God is going to reward you in the heaven. You know, we need to be investing. We need to do something for the Lord. You know, when I always tell to the churches and encourage them, when we meet our Savior, he is going to ask you one question. Did you do anything? Did you achieve anything for me? Is there anything you did? Is there anything I can remember about you? Well, God, you know, I was in the school for 20 years. I got out of the school. I got a good job. I earned a good income. That's good. I built a big building, which is 10 bedrooms. That's a price a lot for that. And I have a beautiful wife and 10 children. That's okay. That's nice. What did you do for me? What is your achievement for me? Is there anything you led or your family led to the church? Is there anything you can able to, you did achieved for me? If God asks you that question, what would be your answer? You cannot say, God, I did not get any privilege. No. God has given us so many privileges for us. It's our responsibility to take the gospel. So that is what we are doing. So you can support us through Indian International Gospel Mission. You can send your gift to them. Can you come back, please, sir? Yeah. One more down, please. Yeah. You can send anything if you want to support personally through the church, whatever it is, and you can send to the International Gospel Mission. They will take care. They will send it to the India. They will send it to the India. So please do pray about it. Next slide, please. Pray for us. Next, please. Yep. Today morning, I just want to bring a God's word to you. I'm always excited when I bring the God's word. You know, because, you know, God's word brings me joy in my face. He is alive today. He is a wonderful God we have today. Let's turn our Bible to the book of Philippians chapter number 1. We all know the Philippians. The book of Philippians is written by the Paul who was in the prison. Who was in the prison. You know, surprising thing, Paul was in the prison but not the gospel. Let me repeat you once again. Paul which means technically the preacher is in prison, but not the gospel. Preacher is in chains, not the gospel. You know, even though Paul is in prison, he always had a desire and passion to reach the world. You know, he writes from the prison by saying to the Philippians church, by saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, again I say unto you, rejoice. Sometimes we wake up by seeing the difficulties of our life. Difficulties in our life. If you look into the India, if you look into the persecution throughout the world, you are the privileged people. Somebody was telling me yesterday, when I was speaking to the another congregation in Michigan, they were telling me, you know, one day God is going to bring the persecution to the America. I don't expect that. But if it comes, we will understand who is the real Christian. You have so many opportunities. You have so many privileges. Sometimes, most of the time, you people have forgotten what God has done. In dollar bill, we printed, in God, we trust. Are we really? That matters. So many times, that's a problem. So that's the reason God is warned to the Israel people when they were delivered from from Egypt, when they were walking out of that, God said unto them, do not forget what I have done for you. Dear church, I want to encourage you. Paul was in prison, but not the gospel. This morning I want to talk to you the topic called the partners in God's mission. I want to thank Pastor and Missions Committee. After I come here, I walked into his office. He told me the church has taken for the mission as a missionary. I really appreciate for that. Thank you for partnering with us for the furtherance of gospel. Even though you are here, we are serving the Lord in India. Our God is the same God. Our vision is the same. Our intention is same. Our passion is same to build the kingdom of God on planet of earth. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter number 1. I think I have a couple minutes, right, Pastor? Just a few minutes, I know. Just a few minutes. I know that. Yeah, America, you guys function in time. You guys function in time. I really appreciate, admire that. You know how much time I preach in India? I preach 2 hours. 1.5 hour I preach. Our whole service, one service is 3 hours. Whole service is in 3 hours. We have a 4 services where we are gathering, which means we start our worship at 8:39. I go to my home down at 9 o'clock in the night. So that's what it is. We enjoy. Anyway, so I want to bring. Can we scroll down? Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayers of mine. For you all making request with a joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul was speaking to the Philippian church, the only church they partnered with Paul for the furtherance of gospel. Paul mentions about partnership here. There are 5 things he mentions. Number 1, he mentions the first thing is they are partners in gospel. Dear church, I want to encourage you once again. Yes, you know, every believer, they need to be partners for the furtherance of gospel. Gospel is a good news. There are so many people yet to hear the gospel. There are so many people yet to know about Jesus Christ. You know about Jesus Christ. There are so many people in the world, they do not know about Jesus. There are so many countries, they never heard about Jesus Christ. There was a missionary from England who came as a missionary to India. As I mentioned, in India, we have several languages. This man, you know, got married and married and said to his wife, honey, God called me for the ministry to go to India. She said, if God calls you to go to India, you go. He did not call me. I want to stay back in England. Well, he convinced, you know, all men know that how to convince. He convinced. It has taken time to convince her. Finally, she convinced. They came to India. They have 4 children. They were serving the Lord. In India, we have more mosquitoes. We have a disease called malaria. Because of the malaria, one boy got a fever and he died. This man went for the mission field and preaching the gospel. When he went there, somebody came to him and said, your boy died. Your son died. He doesn't know what to do. He ran back to the home. And he asked some people, can you please help me? They said, you are a white man. Came from England to convert the people. We are not going to help you. This man went to his backyard. He dug the pit for his boy. He buried his boy with his own hands. By seeing those situations, his wife became mad. She used to remove her clothes and run on the streets. And, you know, it was a terrible situation for him. But in India, he did an incredible ministry. He translated the Bible into the 40 Indian different languages. One man. You can be an ordinary man. You can be an ordinary woman. You can impact with your passion, with your desire, with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can impact your society. There are so many people, our neighbors, who never knew about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we live with our neighbor who is with us, who is a neighbor to you since 20 years. We don't know what is his name. We don't know. We meet our colleagues sometimes. We don't know their names. Every second there are two people are dying. For 1 minute, 120 people are dying. For 1 hour, 7,200 people are dying. For 1 day, 185,000 people are dying. My question is, where they are going? Life is one-time opportunity. You'll not get back. There is no another privilege. God has given a wonderful opportunity to live in this planet, to determine our destination. Not only we can able to go to somebody, we can able to witness about Jesus Christ, we can able to witness about love of Jesus Christ. That's what we do in India. When we share the gospel, there are so many times, so many people have beaten us very badly. When I say bye to my wife and go out for the mission field and preaching the gospel, when I say bye, I mean it. I don't know when I come back, whether I come back or not. I don't know whether I can see you back. Honestly speaking, I'm not trying to do something. Honestly speaking, I don't know whether I'm going to come back. I want to challenge you, every believer, every member of the church, every believer need to do something for the Lord in the church. You need to go to somebody who is broken, you can comfort them. You need to go to somebody who never knew about Jesus Christ, you can encourage them, you can bring it to the church. Is it not our responsibility? Is it only missions team does? Is it only pastor does? No. God called us to do. God called us to serve him. Gospel is a good news. The Philippian church, they were partnering with Paul for the furtherance of gospel. You can partner. There are so many ways. You can partner by praying. You can partner by witnessing. You can partner by serving. There are so many ways you can partner in the gospel. You cannot sit silent. You may not see another opportunity. You may not get the wonderful privilege again. God has given a beautiful building. God has given a beautiful pastor. God has given wonderful people in the church. Every believer needs to have a desire to take the gospel. I don't know how many of you get my prayer letter. I mentioned a couple days ago. I'm going to close by this point itself. I mentioned in my prayer letter, one of my pastors, his name is Simon. He went for the preaching of the gospel. He has three daughters, one son. They are very, very small kids. He went to preach the gospel. He went and while he was coming, the radicals caught him. They have beaten him very badly. They thought of killing him. They threw him into the bushes. They thought he is dead. His wife called us and said, you know, Simon did not come to home. We tried to find out. 2 days later, we found he's in the bushes. He's alive. You know, we took him to the hospital. Doctor said, there is multiple fractures in his body. There is a fracture in his face. There is two places there is a fracture. His hand was broken. Two hands were broken. One leg was broken. He was completely broken. After 6 months, he was in hospital. After 6 months, he said, He called me. I met him a couple days ago. I said, do you want to take rest or do you want to get into the field? He said, I want to serve the Lord until I die. That's what he said unto me. You know, Paul writes to the Romans, chapter number 1, verse number 16, he says, I am not ashamed to preach the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. If you understand the privilege of carrying the gospel, you know, you cannot sit silently. Hey, church, there is a world people had to know Jesus. You know Jesus. You cannot sit quietly. You need to tell about him. You need to tell about his love. You need to tell about his sacrifice, what he did. One day, God will reward you. Let's bow down our head. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for thy goodness and mercy, O God. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity of bringing thy word to your people, O God. O God, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Bless our congregation. Bless our people, O God. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Vijay.